Soundstripe.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to That's Relatable. My name's Brooke, and if you haven't been here before, I'm so stinking excited to have you. Welcome to, what are we talking about today? You know what? This is the one. We're talking about feeling good in our own skin. Okay, and the reason being is because I recently did a poll on Instagram. And basically how it worked is I listed out a couple of different like scenarios, and then I just simply asked which of these relate most to you. And I'd have to look back and see what the other options are right now, to be honest with you. But one of the options was, I struggle with feeling good in my own skin, or something along those lines. And the overwhelming majority of people responded to that specific poll. And that just like strikes a nerve with me, because I can so relate to that. That was like me, I would say, up until like the last maybe year and a half, 2 years, where I finally started to get my groove back. But I used to struggle so bad with this idea of like, oh gosh, I just am gross. Like I feel like, and I know that's not nice to say, but like I did not feel good in my own skin. Like, ew. Like I would just sit in the mirror and like pick myself apart and like purposely try to like dodge myself in the mirror sometimes. And that is obviously no way to live. That ain't it. So this is going to go straight to how I broke that cycle. And for those of you who don't know, now I'm like, truly, I feel like addicted to working out, like obsessed with working out. I'm not like a super like crazy fit workout guru that you see on Instagram who's like ripped with a six pack and whatnot. But like I have definitely lost the extra 10 to 15 pounds that I had been carrying around with me. And I kind of want to talk about how that shift happened and what actually made that click in my mind. Because like I said, for so long, I was not that person, like at all. I wanted so badly to be that person who was like into working out and fitness and blah, blah, blah. And I had like zero motivation, zero desire, as much as I wanted to look a certain way. When it boils down to the hard stuff, I just didn't have it. Like I did not have the self-discipline, and I was so easily able to convince myself to just like, start tomorrow. I don't need to do it today. Looking back, I was being such a victim, like to all these other things that I had going on around me. And I just had such a whiny mentality of just like, oh, I'm just so tired though. And work sucked today. And like the kids need this done today. And there's so many chores. And oh, it's just never going to happen for me. And that was truly like my genuine thought process of just like, this is just my life. Like, I don't know how everybody else is making it happen, but I'm just not going to be that person. And so I think what my final straw was when I was pregnant with my son. And side note here, like I was not a glowing, lovely pregnant woman who like loved being pregnant, like, ooh, so fun. No, I was a freaking gremlin who just like had like my messy hair and my dirt under my nails, just like a ripped raggedy shirt on. Like I was just not a cute pregnant lady, or I didn't feel like it. My body would change so much, as it should in pregnancy, but I was just like, oh, like I would crawl in my own skin by the time it was time to have a baby. Like at the full term, I was losing my freaking mind. Like this baby needs to get out of me. I need to get my body back. I feel like I can't do anything that I want to do. I was huffing and puffing, walking around, couldn't hardly do anything without needing to sit down and take a breath. And I just got to the end of that pregnancy, and I truly remember talking to my mom. I don't know, it was just her and I at one point. And one-on-one, I just told her, I'm like, I want to be in the best shape I can possibly be after I have this baby, because I'm so tired of being so tired all the time. I'm out of breath. I can't walk. I'm getting exhausted going up the steps. Like, I was so frustrated that my body was not performing in a way that I thought it should. Like, I should not be a 20-something-year-old and struggling to go up and down the steps. Now, granted, yeah, I'm full-term pregnant. Obviously, that's part of it. But I just knew in my mind, once this baby's out, it's game on. This is finally happening. Like I knew I am so much more capable than what I'm living at. I'm not supposed to just be a big freaking uncomfortable version of myself who gets cranky at looking in the mirror and who is like a victim to everything else that's going on in my life. Really, I think that's the biggest thing. Once that thought went through my head of like, I'm tired of being so tired and so out of shape and so just like crawling in my own skin. That was the first piece, because I had to realize that I'm not stuck. Like, I didn't have to be a victim to everything else that was going on in my life. I don't have to sit there and say, oh, I just had such a bad day and there's just no time. And granted, that can be true, but like, you have to make that decision, that one switch of a decision that says, enough, no more. I'm not going to let myself continue on living this life at this version, in this version of myself. Like, I'm so much more capable of living a healthier and happier life. So as much as it sucks to say, like, I can't sit here and encourage you and encourage you and encourage you and have anything happen from it. Like, you physically have to do it. And I remember seeing on Instagram, there was like this reel or maybe like just like a quote or a picture of some sort. And it stuck with me. And it says, no one is coming to get you. And no one's coming to get you off your couch. I don't know if you guys have heard that before, but that stuck with me because it said, like, it doesn't matter how much you complain and how bad you want it, unless you physically are the person who makes yourself get out of bed or get off the couch or go do your workout, like, it will never happen. So you have to decide, are you okay with it never happening? Because if you are, keep doing what you're doing. Kick your feet up, open up another bag of chips, let go, have at it. But if you are not okay with that being your lifestyle, which I would venture to say almost 100% of us are probably in that boat of not being okay with that lifestyle, you have got to physically put your feet on the ground, stand up, walk to your workout clothes, put them on. You have to make yourself do it because no one else can encourage you enough. And after I had that realization in my head, I was like, oh crap, really, this all does fall on my shoulders. And that was tough too, because I think back in high school, I had always been in good shape in high school. Like, whatever, I played sports, did all the things, cool. But that was just the thing. In high school, I had a coach and like set times of practice where I had someone telling me what to do, someone telling me to get on the line and run, someone telling me to push myself harder. And I knew I had teammates that I had to perform well for in order for us to do well. So I had other motivators there that were pushing me to get to the level that I was at. But once you're outside of high school or college or any sort of competitive level like that, the pressure is solely on you. Like, if you want to be a certain fitness level, you have got to make yourself do it, because not a single person is coming to get you off that couch. So maybe I'm speaking to you a little bit and you're like, okay, Brooke, like, I get you. Like, I understand that side of it. But really, like, I just don't have the time. Yeah, I feel you on that. To be fair, I totally feel you on that. But guess what? This is the other thing we have to think about, is anybody who's in shape, it's not due to convenience. It's not due to just good genetics. Are genetics a thing and they play a part of our health and overall looks? Well, sure, yeah, to some extent. But there's no way that someone can be completely fit and in shape and it just be luck of the draw. Like, people are working hard. And even with social media, like, not everyone is showing that all the time. But what we have to understand is that everybody has a busy schedule. Everybody has a life that they're living, whether they're a parent or not, whether they're a stay-at-home mom or whether they're a full-time worker. You know, everybody has something going on. And so that card, you guys, as much as I hate to say it, because it's a card that I use on myself sometimes, is nobody's got free time just laying around and it's just convenient to go push ourselves and work out. Like, that's not a thing. We have to write that one off. We can't keep using that and say, yeah, but I'm so busy, don't understand. Because yeah, yes, I do understand. And you know, and I'm not sitting here saying that no one else is busier than me. I'm sure there are people, but like I said, I have two kids too, and they're little. And if you can relate to that, I mean, the younger kids really, really are super dependent on their parents, right? So my 4-year-old and year and a half old, well, they truly obviously need us to do everything as parents, my husband and I. And so yeah, like, you get home and there seems like there's no free time. But that's where you have to prioritize yourself, you guys, because the way I look at it is, if I'm spending 16, 18 hours a day focusing on everyone else, everyone at work, and then I come home and everyone at home, and you're constantly working for someone else, you deserve 30 minutes of you time to better yourself, to not just cater to everyone else. It's only natural, you guys. You have to have time for yourself. Who can constantly be doing everything else for everyone else and not lose their minds? You get 30 minutes of guilt-free time to better yourself. That is your time at the very least, right? Even an hour, like, truly. I say 30 minutes because I know that's how much time I spend on my workouts. 35 max. Maybe if I'm crazy, I'll do a 45. Very, very seldom do I do 45-minute workouts. But 30 to 35 minutes is like my sweet spot. I get those 30 to 35 minutes. You better believe it. And my husband's awesome. And I understand that not everybody has help at home. But sometimes when Mike is gone, or he likes to hunt in the fall times and he helps coach and do different things, whatever, he runs around. Okay. And so when he's not home, like, I have things that I want to do still, meaning my workout. And guess what? I just do it with my kids. And it's a frustrating thing sometimes because I have to stop it. Maybe my son poops and I got to go change him quick. And my daughter falls off her play course again and we've got to bandage her up or whatever it is. Like, that's okay. Sometimes we got to just do the best we can. But regardless, you still get that 30 minutes or 45 minutes of time to just try to better yourself and to work on yourself. Now, this next one, I think I struggled with the most when I started getting into my workout routines and really focusing on my fitness levels. And that's the fact that I put so much freaking pressure on myself. I'm super freaking competitive, like, to the point where it annoys myself. Like, I drive myself a little freaking crazy with how much I try to compete with others when I'm like, Brooke, no one's competing back. Stop. Like, it does not need to be so serious all the time. But I think of, like, you know, these videos that I'm trying to do. Sometimes I'm trying to do like fast cardio videos and I get so pissed off when I'm trying to follow a freaking move and they're jumping around and doing all sorts of craziness and I'm like a step behind. If I'm like a beat behind the move that they're doing, like, I just lose my ever-loving mind. Like, I go a little bit ballistic. Mike makes fun of me. I freak out. I'll yell and say all the things downstairs and it's like too much. Like, truly, I need to freaking chill out. But that is one of my struggles, is to like be doing a workout video with a person who can't even see me. Obviously, they're on the screen, and like being behind them, because my self-talk gets so negative. Like, it's ugly. It's not cute at all. Where I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so stupid. Come on, like, hurry up, do it with them. Like, why are you so slow? Like, I just start beating myself up. That obviously is not going to help anything. And so that was a huge piece that I had to remove. And I had to like consciously tell myself, like, Brooke, you are okay. Brooke, do your best. Brooke, don't look at the video. Like, truly, to this day, if I can just listen to the video and hear the instructions of what moves I'm supposed to be doing, I try not to look at my video. I try not to watch it because I start to race the person and I want to be better than them. I want to go faster than them. And then I kick my freaking butt and I'm so dead tired within the first 10 minutes of my workout that I'm like, what am I doing? I'm done. Guys, please tell me I'm not the only one who does this. I feel so stupid saying that out loud because am I crazy? I don't know. But I try to race people and they're not even racing me back. So not only am I trying to like race them, but I'll do that with the weights too. So like, even on Instagram, if I'm watching like a workout or, you know, people put all sorts of like, try this workout or blah, 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 I'll watch them and I'll like purposely try to like put my finger on my screen at the right time and look at the weights that they're using. For what reason? Like, I'm not a bodybuilder. I don't know what it is, you guys. I don't know. But anyways, I've had to be super conscious about like just doing genuinely the best that I can do. Like, I can't keep trying to put unrealistic expectations on myself. Like, guess what? I'm never going to be a freaking, like, I don't know, Olympic sprinter. Like, why would I try to race someone who does these workout videos as a profession? So that's one thing. Don't put the pressure on you to be perfect when you jump into these workout routines. Because chances are, if you haven't worked out in a long time, it's going to be ugly. It ain't going to be pretty. You're going to stumble. You're going to probably drop weights. You're probably going to maybe have a temper tantrum like I do, and you're gonna be fine, because then you're gonna get yourself back up and you're just gonna keep going and you're just gonna keep doing it. On top of that, you don't have to like do these crazy high intensity cardio workouts where you are jumping around and hopping on one foot and then doing a burpee with no hands. I don't know, like, we have to also realize that there are so many different methods to working out. That was a huge light bulb that came on for me, because typically, my sisters will do, like, one sister likes high reps, low weights. The other sister likes to do, like, high cardio, jumping around like a hillbilly. Like, those aren't for me. And so I had to go out and find a method of working out that I liked best. Now, my specific method, which, to each their own, again, find your own thing, is like heavier weights with lower reps. And I was so stinking surprised with how high my heart rate could get by doing those types of workouts, because all I've ever done are sprinting workouts. And I hate those. I hate those because, like I said, I'm slow. And so when I see myself being slow, it pisses me off. And so I don't want to do those. So you have to look for the kind of method that your body likes or that you just literally enjoy. I know sometimes my sister too will like do dance videos because it's just fun. She's just trying to mess around and just find a way to move her body. Okay, cool. So do that. Do yoga, do bar, do Pilates, do heavy lifting, whatever. There's so many different options. Don't marry yourself to one option that you hate. Why would you do that? Side note, even walking on an incline on a treadmill, freaking killer. Killer, just walking, you guys. Seriously. So that's a huge thing. If you can find a method that your body actually loves and that you enjoy, it's not going to be like a chore to do anymore. It's going to be something that you look forward to doing. And that's, I'm spiraling. I just remembered the same thing, like thinking about your heart rate, okay? Trying to get your heart rate up. Use that as a level of measuring how your workouts are going rather than, am I following along perfectly with whatever instructor you're watching? So I feel like Apple Watches, I'm obsessed with those. That's the one I use. But I know there's also like different Fitbits and whatnot. If you look up like the chart for your heart rate, I know specifically for my age range and what I like to do, like I want my heart rate to be anywhere from like 130 to 150. And I know maybe that doesn't make sense to some people, but I know to have like a decent workout, I'm looking at my heart rate to go 130, 150-ish. If I want high intensity cardio, it needs to be above 160. And so rather than, again, these are just little things I've learned along the way, is rather than trying to stay like super perfect in the moves and like do everything on the right beat as a video instructor is, like I look to make sure my heart rate is staying in that range, because that's where you're going to see the results in your actual physique, if that's what your aim is to do. So just find different methods of comparing your success and not just like based on like if you're keeping up with the instructor. Don't be so competitive that it ends up hurting yourself is the whole purpose of this little spiel. Like, don't put that pressure on yourself. You need to go into it without expectations, to be quite honest. Like, let yourself use the modifications, okay? If you need to do push-ups from your knees, have at it. If you need to do no weights instead of, or just like body weight instead of using dumbbells, then do it. But the purpose is just to move your body, and the purpose is to be consistent. So don't try to go for perfection, right? If you're consistently doing 20 minutes a day, working yourselves up to 25 to 30 to 35, whatever you're comfortable with, that's the goal. If we can make these non-scale goals over like a weight goal or like a performance goal, that's really, really what's going to be helpful. And that's what I've seen as the biggest change for myself. I've actually had to, at a time, like hide the scale for myself, like put it where I can't see it, put it under my dresser, leave it alone, because there can be a point where we get so obsessed with what the number is on the scale. Rather than doing that, like just look for consistency, look for growth as far as, can you do a move better today than you did it yesterday? That's huge. And I've never, ever had that thought process before. And so once I made that switch, I was like, okay, this is not that bad. Like, I just need to take a step back and stop expecting myself to pick up at a higher level than what I'm at. Because if I'm being honest, like right after having my son, that was the worst shape I had been in. Again, yeah, I just had my son. Like, it's normal. I get it. But still, it was just like, I had never been so out of shape in my life. And so I couldn't expect myself to just jump into a workout and like start sprinting. Like, that's never who I was. I wasn't going to start then. So I had to really just like rearrange my mindset and know that, hey, I'm going into this. I'm going to do the best I can do. No one's here to watch me. I'm not in front of anybody. It's just me genuinely trying. And that's all you can do. So once I was able to kind of break these barriers on what my expectations were for my workout, the last thing that I had to switch, and this was like the worst. Oh, this is the one I struggled with the most. And I know it's going to be unpopular. And I know some of you are going to be like, boo, you suck, Brooke. Don't ever say this again. Oh, I had to make myself stop taking naps. And if you know me, that was freaking brutal. That was brutal. I don't know when this even started. Like back in college, I would literally plan my day around a nap and be like, okay, I got to go to class here. We're doing this tonight. That means I have from this time to go nap. And I would like schedule it out in advance. And it was like an issue, actually. And so I've had that pattern up until like well, one, having kids, it's like, how can you take a nap when you're working full time and then you come home and you're like caring for your family, right? Well, I would still try to like squeeze them in. And I'm like, why am I prioritizing a nap over like going to better myself like physically? And again, I would fall back into that victimizing mentality of, but I'm so tired and work was so hard and the kids kept me up late and Bodhi was up four times last night. And just all the excuses would start just like plummeting into my brain as soon as I was like admitting to myself that I was tired. But this is where things get interesting. So I actually did a little research on this one. You guys should be so proud. But I did a little research on this one, and there were several studies. And I just happened to pick, there was what, like Harvard, there was heartorg.com, there was also this Cleveland Clinic one. That's the one that I'm going to refer to. But what this study showed is that naps should only really be for like 15 to 20 minutes if you're going to take them. Mine were like solid 2 hours, pushing three if I was lucky. Like I was like, dude, no, not, I'm out. Peace. And that was actually like kicking my butt. Like I thought because I was so tired and had low energy, like taking a long nap would help me recoup. But really what these studies are showing is that 15 to 20 minutes is the best amount of time that you should spend taking a nap. I'm reading this right now. It says improves stress levels, memory, and energy without disrupting nightly patterns or circadian rhythms is what I think is, I don't know. I'm getting all fancy with the words now, but I think that's how you pronounce that. So basically 15 to 20 minutes, like a little power nap is the sweet spot if you're actually going to nap, because it's telling us later on, it says long naps are where problems start to occur. So basically if you take these long, like several hour naps, your body assumes that you are going to sleep for the nighttime. For like, it's bedtime, it's nighttime, you're supposed to be in a deep sleep. And so your body will fall into a deep sleep. Well, at some point, you're going to have to wake up and continue on with the rest of your day. So when you nap like that, and then you wake up and you still have the evening that you need to get things done, you wake up and you're more groggy than you were when you went to sleep, because your body is assuming that you should still be sleeping. Like that deep sleep is meant for nighttime. You're not supposed to get out of your deep sleep within 2 hours. And so really, if you think about that, holy freaking crap, that makes so much sense. Like I would fall asleep for several hours, wake up and be way more tired, it seems like. That is where all of this whole study, I can link it if you guys are interested in looking at it. It's actually really interesting. But basically, it's saying that we assume we're gonna nap, we're gonna feel energized, and then we're gonna be productive. But really, when we're taking these long naps, our body is going into nighttime mode, and we're not supposed to get out of nighttime mode for like 7 hours. And so for us to try to get out of it in 2 to 3 hours throws us off for the rest of the evening. Now we're even more groggy. Now we're unenergized. And now we're like definitely not gonna get our workout in. So really, if you can eliminate that nap, or at least dwindle it down to like the sweet spot of 15 to 20 minutes, that's where you're actually gonna feel more energized. And then not only are you gonna feel energized, but you're gonna have more time to get your workouts in because you didn't just waste another 2 to 3 hours sleeping. Okay, so that was one thing that I had to really like, oh, I really had to swallow my pride and be like, it's time, cut the naps out. And I mean, to this day, like if I'm really, really tired or like had a crazy long day or maybe I'm feeling sick, whatever, like I will let myself nap. But really, I try to not let it go over 20 minutes. And I have Mike try to help me and be like, okay, at this time, I need to be awake. Otherwise, the rest of the evening's downhill and I'm gonna be super unproductive. But especially with getting rid of the naps, like, I can still feel tired and know that I need to work out. And actually, it's weird because in my brain, now I know like the more tired I feel, the more I need to go work out. Your workouts act as like a natural stimulant, for those of you who don't know. Like all the endorphins and the dopamine and all the things that your brain chemically releases into your body after your workout, that is used as a stimulant to wake you up and energize you through the rest of the day. So now I know, and I know this sounds cheesy, whatever, ooh, good for you, Brooke. But really, what I have found that the more tired that I am, the more I need to go work out. Because now if I go get my workout in, I'm so dead tired. Oh crap, I'm falling asleep. Okay, now go get your workout in, because that's gonna be my natural stimulant. And I can't have like 500,000 more milligrams of caffeine my day. So I have to go work out literally as a way to keep myself awake for the rest of the day. And really guys, I'm throwing all of these hopefully good tips to you guys, something that you guys can maybe resonate with. But really what it boils down to too is we have to be just so stinking thankful that we have bodies that we could move and that we're allowed to move and we're able to move and we're capable to move. Your excuses are just that, excuses. Somebody somewhere is bedbound, illness bound, whatever, and they are not able to work out or able to go move their bodies. And you guys, some people would kill to go work their bodies. Please do not take that for granted. Please, please, please do not take that for granted. There is someone out there who would do anything to have the abilities that you have. So if you're not gonna do it for you, do it for someone else. Do it for your kids, do it for your family, do it for the health benefits that you're gonna get so that your family can see you as the best version of yourself, so you can play with your kids, so you can go outside and walk with them while they're riding their bikes, so you can play basketball with them and not get tired. You wanna be able to be the best version of yourself, not just for you, but for others too. So please, if none of this is gonna click with you, if none of this is gonna inspire you, let the people around you do that, because you're so worth it. You're worth that energy so that they can also be benefiting from that as well. And most of all, you guys, I really have to reiterate that this is not a thing about physical appearance. If you're solely trying to work out because you wanna look a certain way, as much as I wanna say like that's an okay thing, and I think it is okay to an extent, like, that desire alone is probably not going to be enough to keep you motivated in the times where you really don't want to go work out. If you want to stay self-disciplined and you want to be consistent with your workouts, you got to try and attach these workouts to something more than just how do you look, okay? I think of where have I really seen my benefits of my working out, and my physical appearance, my physical looks, I guess, is truly towards the bottom of the ranks, because I have developed so much more mental clarity. I have developed way less anxiety. I'm finally patient with my kids. I'm not proud of how freaking irritable I can get with my kids. I'm hoping that's also relatable. Because man, it's not always cute, I'll tell you that much. But if I have my workout in and I can get those 30 minutes to myself, I'm way more relaxed, way more just like pleasant to be around. And I think Mike would vouch for that as well. If I brought him on here, he'd probably agree with that. But I've seen it in my patience with my kids. I've seen it in my marriage. I've seen it just like reshape my attitude, so I'm not just a total freaking brat that I can be, like I can be after work. It gives me that time to unwind, release the stress from the day, and then regather myself to go spend time with my family. And also, huge, huge thing, I've seen it in my confidence. And I don't mean physically, I mean mentally. Because when I see myself work out and when I'm staying consistent in my workouts and I'm being disciplined, I have retrained my brain now to believe and to know that that is who I am. I am a hard worker. I am self-disciplined. And I am going to get A, B, and C done when I tell myself I'm going to. Like, my excuses don't have a leverage on me anymore, because I know as part of who I am, I will get it done, because I'm now disciplined and consistent and hardworking and all the things. And so it's really kind of changed my own perception of myself. I've been able to see like how capable I am to get things done and to do things even if I don't want to. And so now my excuses don't hold weight to anything anymore. You have to be the one to go prove yourself right, okay? You have to show yourself. You got to show yourself that when you say you're going to get something done, you actually do it. Don't be that person who says, oh yeah, I'll start working out tomorrow, and then you don't do it. No. If you're going to tell yourself to do something, have the self-discipline behind it and follow up with it, and you're going to change your perception of yourself, and your confidence is going to skyrocket, because you're going to be like, oh wow, wait, I actually can do this, and I actually can put in the hard work even when I don't want to. That's huge. Again, I know I sound like a crazy lady having like conversations in my own head, but when I have an excuse, I will purposely play like devil's advocate to that excuse. So if I say, oh, I'm too tired, I'll say, okay, well, so-and-so got their workout in and they were tired. Oh, but I had such a long day. Okay, yeah, well, this person also works and they had a long day, so suck it up. Like, I'm constantly having those little conversations. You guys know in the cartoons how they have like a little angel and a little devil sitting on one shoulder, like each side of your head on your shoulders. That's how it feels like when I'm trying to convince myself to not do a workout. I'm like having a little argument with myself. Long story short, it takes effort. It's not just like, oh, I'm hopping out of bed and I'm ready to just go run and do my workouts. A lot of times, now that I've done it enough, I am excited to go do my workouts. But there are the days where I'm like, dude, I'm tired. No, today was not a day. It was a bad one. And those are the days where I have to really fight with myself and have that inner battle. And then still, I know the result's going to be, I will go get my workout in. Because now again, I know I'm self-disciplined. I know I'm a hard worker, and it's going to happen. please know if you're listening to this and you're like, ah, but it sucks and I don't want to and it's hard and I'm tired and there's things to do. Like, I feel that to my core and I know the chores are there and the dishes are dirty and there's laundry to do. The floor's a mess. I get it. That all can wait. It can wait 30 minutes. You guys get 30 minutes to yourself. You're so stinking deserving of it. And also, if you've been through this and you can relate, please let me know what other tips and tricks you've used to kind of get yourself out of that rut. And I would love to share those on social media just to be able to kind of spread any other tips that maybe I missed. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode today. I hope it was helpful. Hopefully you got something out of it. And just know I love you so stinking much. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next time.